Think you know fantasy basketball? You can win money with FanDuel tonight and all through the NBA playoffs. Draft your fantasy basketball team for tonight's playoff action. It's quick and easy, and you could win huge cash prizes. Sign up for FanDuel now using promo code LINEUPS and get a $5 bonus with your first deposit. Just visit FanDuel.com or download the FanDuel app. Then draft your NBA playoff team and play for cash. Again, make sure to use the promo code LINEUPS when signing up. Do it now so you can win on the games tonight. Listen to Spurscast, episode 540. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of the Spurscast. After the San Antonio Spurs were able to go to Denver and take home court away from the Nuggets in game one of the round one playoff series, the Spurs handed it right back on to Denver on Saturday at home in the AT&T Center as the Spurs fell in their own building 117-103. This is an interesting game. At first, it looked like the Spurs had control. Denver came out with a lot more energy than we saw in Game 3. San Antonio, though, matched that energy early on, and they built a 12-point lead ending the first quarter. However, one theme that didn't carry on in the series was that the Spurs' starters actually struggled a little bit in the second quarter. And it was actually the bench that played pretty decently in the first half. And so when the Spurs' starters came back in, they ended up losing the lead late going into the second quarter. Going into halftime, both teams were tied at the half. In the third quarter, neither group for the Spurs could get it together, both the starters and the bench. Both sides couldn't figure it out. And Denver ended up building a 12-point lead after the third quarter. Then in the fourth, Denver basically had control from about a 10 to about a 16-point lead. They were pretty comfortable there. Coach Pop didn't even put in LaMarcus Aldridge at that point in the fourth. And by the four-minute mark, I mean, it was pretty much over. Denver, it was up by like 17, 19 points. So Coach Pop pulled his starters, and that was basically the ball game. So there it is, the Spurs and the Denver Nuggets, the 2-7 matchup out west. They are both tied at 2-2, with each team winning one game on the road during this series so far. So as I've done, let's go ahead and break this game down really into detail on both ends of the ball. Of course, starting here on the defensive side first for the Spurs. There's really just two areas that mainly stuck out to me when I look at the stats and what's going on here, and even with what the eye test showed. And that was the shooting from three for Denver and Denver's ability to get to the free throw line. Because if you look at the points of the paint for Denver, you look at their frequency at the rim, from the mid-range, all that kind of stuff, they didn't get too much more than their usual season averages from those areas. The Spurs played a pretty good defensive game in those areas. It was mainly the three-point area, like I said, and the free throw line that really, really stuck out to me. So typically, the Nuggets have a free throw rate of 18 free throws made per 100 field goal attempts during the regular season. That increased to 25 in this game. Some players responsible for getting to the line multiple times here: Nikola Jokic, he made 8 of 8 free throws. Jamal Murray, 5 of 5 free throws. And then Will Barton off the bench, now that he got a new role coming off the bench, he was more aggressive and he got to the line and he made 3 of 4 free throws. So those are some of the players that really stuck out on that part as far as the Spurs not typically being a team that fouls a lot. And this one, they did have some fouling issues with those three specific players. Then the three-point line has really been a difference here in the series right now, and why Denver is able to, even when they play really badly at the start, when they start basically down 10 points in each game, they're able to make those comebacks during the game and still have a chance, because their three-point shooting keeps them in ball games. Where the Spurs don't take many threes, they're a mid-range shooting team, a team that's getting a lot of points in the paint. Well, the math part of it, it ends up evening out for Denver because of the amount of threes they take. And when they do hit their threes, like we saw in Game 4, they're able to get back into a ball game and then also create some separation from San Antonio, because the Spurs on offense, once they fall behind by 10, they don't really have a chance to catch back up, because they're not a team who does shoot threes, and also when they struggle on defense. So looking at the three-point frequency for the Nuggets, they typically in the season like to take 32% of their shots from three. In this one, they got 33% of their shots from three. their accuracy, they made 48% of their threes, which is 12% higher than their usual season average. Some players responsible for this, Torrey Craig, in his first start, makes 5 of 7 three-pointers. Will Barton comes off the bench. He couldn't make a three at all as a starter. He was 1 of 13 as a starter in the series. Guess what? He makes 3 of 3 three-pointers in this game. Jamal Murray, after he had such a terrible game three, he bounces back, shooting 3 of 5 from three. Gary Harris had an off night overall, but he still made 2 of 5 three-pointers. When you look at the advanced stats from NBA.com, a number that sticks out to you, the Spurs allowed 14 of Denver's 31 three-pointers to be considered wide open. That is basically you and 6 feet between a defender that's coming at you. So basically a wide open three, 14 of those were wide open, and the Nuggets made 50% of those. So again, that's 21 points just basically off wide open threes for Denver in this game. When you look at the averages, the Nuggets are outscoring the Spurs from the three-point line by 16.5 points right now in this series. So in this game, San Antonio gives up 45 points from the three-point line. And typically the Spurs, in the regular season at least, even though they weren't a great three-point defense, they still only allowed 35 to the opponent. So right now in this game, the Nuggets got 10 more. Overall in the series, they're outscoring them by 16.5 points per game. Torrey Craig, this is just, his story is really interesting. During the season, he only made 32% of his threes. Right now in the series, though, that's all the way up to 69%. So I know it's a small sample size. It's only 4 games. But, I mean, right now he's been crucial for Denver in this series, making those threes. First he was off the bench, and now he's a starter. And, again, the Spurs are playing the numbers here where they know that statistically, if you look at the whole season, Craig is their worst shooter in terms of accuracy out of the rotation players. So the smart game for San Antonio is to play the odds and, leave him open and see if he can really make you pay. Well, the problem is, though, he actually is making the Spurs pay. So now it gets a little bit more interesting to see if, can the Spurs still risk leaving him open and to go help on like Jokic, on Jamal Murray, on Harris, on Millsap. Or do they start guarding him more and not backing off of him? Because right now he's really making them pay when a lot of his three-point looks are the ones that the Spurs do want to give up. Like I mentioned, Will Barton, he was 1 of 13 as a starter. He ends up making 3 of 3. And then, Murray and Harris are always threats from the outside for Denver. Some other players that stood out for Denver, their main go-to guys, Nikola Jokic finishes at 29 points, 46% shooting, 5 offensive rebounds, 8 assists. He played 43 possessions as Jakob Poeltl as the main defender against him, and he scored 18 of his points against Poeltl. Then he scored 9 points against LaMarcus Aldridge, with Aldridge guarding him for 23 possessions. Jamal Murray, like I mentioned, he had a really bad game 3. He bounces back. He obviously saw that he got shredded against Derek White in game 3. That was a talk for 2 days, so he came back really aggressive in this game with a lot of fire. Puts up 24 points, 6 assists, 57% shooting. Derek White was mainly the guy who guarded him for 47 possessions. He still scored on Derek White. He scored 18 points against White, 58% from the floor, shooting 4 assists and against Derek White. So again, even that was something that Coach Pop talked about after the game, was that this was a great education for Derek, and he caught it on both ends, not just on the offensive end where Denver held Derek to 8 points after he erupted for 36 against them, but also on the defensive end where you basically see the stats show that Jamal Murray, Derek was responsible for guarding him, and Jamal, really took his game to another level in this one, and played really well with Derek as his primary defender. So there will be something there for the Spurs to watch with Derek in terms of watching some game film and seeing how much more impactful he can be against Jamal Murray in game 5. Like I mentioned, Torrey Craig was a big offensive boost for Denver, 18 points, 5 of 7 from 3. DeRozan was the main guy guarding him for about 40% of the possessions, should I say. He scored 6 points on DeRozan. He scored 5 points against Rudy Gay, and then he scored his other points against Patty Mills and Bryn Forbes when they were switched on to him. But again, most of that is a lot of help defense by those guys. They're not really guarding him one-on-one, where Craig's putting up a lot of contested threes. It's more so when these guys are backing off of him to try to get involved in another defensive play. Will Barton, like I mentioned, the move worked for Coach Malone, where he brought Craig as a starter, and he let Barton try to get his confidence back against that bench unit, and sure enough, it was there for him. He puts up 12 points, didn't really have a great shooting night, 30% from the floor. However, like I mentioned, he got to the free throw line, he made some threes. Bellinelli was the main guy guarding him, and for 19 possessions, he scored 3 points and 2 assists against him, and then Will Barton also got going against DeMar DeRozan. He scored 5 points against DeMar. So really, as far as defensive adjustments, like I mentioned, the Spurs did a pretty good job of not letting Denver get out in transition, you know, guarding the rim pretty well. The two areas they really want to focus on for game five is that 3-point defense. You know, how much do they, help out on Jokic on those dribble handoffs with Jokic and Murray, or Jokic and Gary Harris? You know, how much do the help defenders help off? Because right now they're getting torched from the 3-point line. Denver's getting a lot of open looks, and as a team that takes a pretty good amount, Denver in this series, you know, San Antonio just mathematically they're not going to even out because they don't take any threes, and Denver's defense is specifically taking away a lot of their 3-point shooters. The Spurs is, like I've mentioned. The other adjustment I guess the Spurs can try to make is, again, trying to limit the fouling. You know, you don't want to put this team on the foul line, especially when you're not giving up a lot of points in the paint. And you're just trying to make them beat you from the jump shot. And that's obviously working because of the 3-point shooting, but also you just don't want to give them those easy buckets there at the foul line. Moving over to the offense for the Spurs, pretty good areas as far as scoring at the rim increased still. That they had a big boost there getting to the free throw line. They did pretty well there. The two areas that really stick out for San Antonio are frequency from mid-range. You know, only 35% of their shots come from mid-range. They typically like to take 47%, which that might be okay because a lot of that does come from getting more shots at the rim, which you'll take more rim shots compared to mid-range. But again, that's still an area where the Spurs are more comfortable taking from the mid-range. One area that they really struggled with was they only shot 15% from the mid-range when they did take those 35% of their shots. So that's a struggle, obviously, because you know that the Spurs are built around a mid-range shooters in terms of LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, Rudy Gay, and Derek White. So when those guys aren't hitting and they're having trouble from the non-paint too, that's going to be a tough night offensively because those guys don't shoot the three, basically. So you're only getting points from the free throw line and from the rim from those players if they're having a tough night shooting the mid-range shot. And then again, this has kind of been a theme for the series for the Spurs on offense. They just didn't get to take any threes. Only 19% of their shots came from the 3-point line, which is 8% down from 27% that they usually shoot during the season. So I know that during the season, they're 30th in frequency from three, taking 27% of their shots. But even in this series, Denver is just taking away the most efficient part of San Antonio's offense from the outside, which is their 3-point shooters, their marksmen specifically. They're taking out Patty Mills. They're taking away Marco Bellinelli's shots. They're taking away Rudy Gay and Davis's Bertans's 3-point attempts. And it's really making San Antonio have to beat Denver with just points in the paint and the free throw line, primarily, aside from the few that they'll get here and there from the mid range. Spurs scored pretty well in the paint. Yeah, the paint points. So let's go through some of the Spurs' primary players, how they performed. DeMar DeRozan had a good game, 19 points, 54% shooting, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. Now that Denver switched Gary Harris onto Derek White, DeMar had a pretty good game against Torrey Craig. Torrey Craig had to guard him for 66% of the possessions, and DeMar lit him up. He scored 16 points, he had 3 assists, shot 58% against Craig. So right now, that's still a favorable matchup for DeRozan, where he can still get his numbers with Craig guarding him and Harris off of him. LaMarcus Aldridge finishes with 24 points, 56% shooting, 1 assist, and that was all in 3 quarters because he didn't really have to play in the fourth because the game was pretty much decided for most of that fourth quarter. So he did pretty well against Paul Millsap. 54% of his possessions were guarded by Millsap. LaMarcus puts up 13 points on 67% shooting. He played well against Mason Plumlee. Plumlee guarded him for 13% of the possessions, and LaMarcus put up eight points on him on 75% shooting. However, LaMarcus really did struggle, though, when Nikola Jokic was the primary defender on him. 29% of the possessions against Jokic, LaMarcus only made 3 points, and had shot 25% from the floor when Jokic was his primary defender. So if you're the Spurs on offense, you want to keep getting matchups where LaMarcus is going against Millsap or Plumlee rather than Jokic. Like I mentioned, you know, Denver was ready for Derek White. You know, they weren't going to let him explode for another 30-plus point game. In this one, they made their adjustment, and that huge adjustment for them was putting a better defender, their best perimeter defender, on Derek, and that was Gary Harris. So now all of a sudden, Derek's getting the primary treatment as far as the who's going to guard him. So Derek struggled here. He finishes with 8 points on 38% shooting, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. Like I mentioned, 50% of the time Harris was guarding him. He only scored 2 points against Harris, 33% shooting against him, 2 assists and 1 turnover. Then for the other 21%, it was Jamal Murray guarding him. And since he was, I guess, out of rhythm, wasn't really penetrating as much, Derek only got 2 points against Murray, 33% shooting, also 1 assist and 1 turnover. most of his other scoring did come against the other players that he would get switched on, Torrey Craig, Jokic, you know, Plumlee, whoever switched out onto Derek, and he could finally kind of get himself away from Harris. That's kind of where he was able to be a little bit more productive on offense. So I guess, you know, if the three-point shooters aren't going to knock down any threes, Denver's going to continue taking those players away. There's a lot more responsibility on Derek to become a playmaker again, to score over, you know, get around 15 to 20 points with 5-plus assists. And so if that's the case, then we saw that he struggled to use his you know, his ability to kind of be that to initiate off the secondary action and be guys off the dribble like he did in game three. He struggled to do that against Gary Harris. Gary Harris is a better defender, can move better laterally, has more length to kind of bother his layup attempts or his ability to kind of get closer to the rim. So that'll be something to watch is do the Spurs maybe use more dribble handoff action? Do they use more pick and roll action to kind of get Derek free of Harris? Because when they can get that switch with somebody else, well, then Derek's chances of scoring at the rim or getting, you know, creating and opening up a pass for somebody else, you know, basically expands that type of play set if he can get Harris off of him from not guarding him, because right now Harris has been guarding him pretty well, as we saw in game four. The other guy who's usually the Spurs' playmaker really struggled here again. Rudy Gay finishes with just 2 points, 0 of 7 from the floor. So if you take in the playoffs plus the regular season this year, it's basically his third game where he was held without a field goal, which where he didn't make a field goal, should I say. So he was 0 of 7 shooting. Two assists for Rudy. Yeah, and one turnover. He was mainly guarded by Paul Millsap 50% of the time he was on the floor, so he shot 0 of 5 against Millsap with one turnover. Torrey Craig also guarding him for 21% of his time on the floor, which he went 0-1 against him. And again, they really need to get Rudy going because he's one of the key playmakers. You know, I mentioned during the series at the beginning when Colin and I broke this series down that the Spurs had like four playmakers, and you know, that's why they could afford to do a lot more ISO action in the half court and really try to slow the game down against Denver. And I was thinking, you know, DeRozan, LaMarcus, Rudy, and Derek White. Well, so far in the series, outside of game one, it's really just been Derek, DeMar, and LaMarcus, and not in any particular order, but they've been missing that fourth guy who can create for himself or others, and that's Rudy Gay. That's what he's been all season for them off the bench or when he started, and it's just not happening, whether he plays with the bench unit, whether he's playing next to his, you know, his comfortable teammates and DeMar and LaMarcus. He just hasn't been very impactful on the offensive end for San Antonio and also on the defensive end. You know, last episode, I read all his numbers when he's on the floor, how they're all negative right now with his net rating. So Rudy's really been struggling, and one thing that I kind of want to highlight here is that Denver is specifically taking away the outside shooting of the Spurs' main three-point shooters. So this is something that Davis Bertans mentioned to Tom Osborne after the game, that, you know, basically they're staying high up on the shooters when they're on the floor. They're not letting them breathe, basically. They're not letting them get any kind of shot attempts, and the numbers show it. And so when you take away – when you look at the fact that LaMarcus, that DeMar – even Rudy and Derek White, they're not primarily 3-point shooters. They're not high volume, should I say. Well, then when you just take away the guys who are high volume, like Bellinelli, like Patty Mills, like Davis Bertans, well, then the Spurs are basically not getting many points from the 3-point line. They're really not. And it's hard, you know, you just don't ask DeMar to go shoot threes or LaMarcus. That's just not their game. That's just not how they've you know, formed their game around. It's not what they've been doing all year. So Denver's, you know, credit to Denver, though. They've done a great strategy in that, in terms of letting DeMar, letting LaMarcus get theirs, but taking away that outside help. The only guy who's gotten free to shoot some threes in the series is Brent Forbes. But again, most of that is because he does play with most units with the two guys who create the most on their own or take a lot of attention, which is DeMar and LaMarcus. So let's just look at some of these numbers, how much the Spurs' bench is missing in the series, pretty much on both ends, honestly. But let's look at the decrease in three-point attempts. You know, Rudy Gay, he usually took, during the regular season, he took 2.7 threes a game, shot 40%. In this series, he's only taking 1.8, shooting 43%. So, you know, Rudy's losing some threes there. Marco Bellinelli usually takes five 3-point attempts a game in the regular season, now down to just 3 3-point attempts. And he's shooting well, 42% from three when he gets those threes, but the problem is he's just not getting many looks at the 3-point line. Patty Mills typically takes 4.9 3-point attempts, which is about 5 per game. Now he's only taking 1.3 in the playoffs right now. They're really, really staying on Patty. Specifically, the guy who gets credit for that is Monty Morris. It has been guarding him most of the time, and then also Malik Beasley. And when and Patty, because he's not getting these three-point attempts, he's not getting any kind of rhythm. He's only shooting 20% of the series from three since he's being limited to just 1.3 per game. Then lastly, Davis Bertans, he normally takes 4 three-point attempts in the season. He's down to 1.8 three-point attempts. And because he like Patty, is out of rhythm, he's only shooting 29% from three-point range right now in the series when he was actually one of the top 10 shooters in the league at 43% this year. So again, I mean, you got to give credit to Denver that they're the ones who have devised this plan of, hey, when Patty Mills is on the floor, when Bellinelli's on the floor, when Rut Davis-Bertans is on the floor, stay on them. Do not let them get free for a three-point shot. And to their credit, it's worked. The Spurs are not getting many points from the three-point line. They're really just having to rely on their paint scoring, their mid-range shooting, and of course their free-throw-line scoring. So if you're San Antonio, how do you combat that if that's going to be the game plan for Game 5 in Denver? Well, you need two guys who can create on their own in that ISO type situation or playmaking situation to start creating more. And unfortunately for Derek White, he's only a second year player, but that's the kind of responsibility the Spurs need from him. They need him to go off again to have a really good game on the offensive end to really create for himself and others. Because without, you know, if he's just putting 8 points, they're not going to get enough scoring with LaMarcus and DeMar. And then also, you know, you need Rudy Gay there. And Gay's just been struggling mightily. I notated this on Twitter. You know, after game one, he shot 6-9 in game one, had a really good efficient game. And you thought that that's what you're going to see from Rudy for the rest of the series. However, from game 2-4 now, as it's continued, he's gone 4-24, just made 4 shots in 24 attempts. I mean, it's just been wild how much he's kind of regressed on both ends in this series, especially, you know, as he's about to hit free agency whenever their season does end. San Antonio's, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, he's just really, really struggling. And I know last year, you know, most of the Spurs team did have a pass just because of the situation they were in. Kawhi, you know, wasn't playing. That, you know, they were against the Warriors who went on to win the championship. So there was some circumstance where it was hard to kind of gauge where the Spurs team was going to be. But now that they're in a series where they're pretty even with their opponent, where they should have a chance to beat this team, you know, for Rudy not to show up, you know, it's really showing right now in a matchup where this is a team that San Antonio might have a chance to beat. So now, you know, we'll see what happens. Like I mentioned, Game 5 is now going to tip off on Tuesday. Denver, once again, by Las Vegas and by other metrics, they're the favorite now to win the series. And obviously that's because they get two games. You know, if it has to go to 7, they get two games at home, whereas San Antonio only gets one more in the AT&T Center. So Game 5 is a really big game to see what happens between the Spurs and Nuggets and see who takes control of the series going forward. And, you know, whoever wins this game, you know, they can basically wrap up the series on Thursday, you know, depending on what happens. So for Project Spurs, I am Paul Garcia. Thank you. Have a great day.